Okay, everyone, welcome back into the Shir room, into the Shir Zoom room. That was a productive morning Seder. We left off yesterday in Shir. We had a chance to see this Gemara, and we had one or two central questions. We had seen Gemara presented a Machlokes Amoraim. Here in Kuf Yud Aleph from Beis, a Machlokes Amoraim, a Machlokes Talmidim. Machlokes between... It seems like it's a machlokas between two first-generation Amoraim, between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, whether Maliach Kiroseach or not, whether salt transfers taste or not. It was originally a machlokas between their Talmidim. We had Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, and we had Ravin, the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara questioned whether Ravin got it right or not, because Rabbi Ami had a different tradition. He was a Talmud Mufak, Rabbi Yochanan, he had a different tradition. What was the issue? What was the issue? The issue was Ka'ar Shamach Babasa. Right? If you would have said the name of Shmuel, I have the pan in which I've salted meat. The salt was removing the blood from the meat and making the meat kosher, which is a good thing. And that's that din of Melicha, the requirement of Melicha, I have to molech the Basa before I can eat it, so that I take the blood out, so I don't violate the Isur of Dam. So that's the subject of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the rules and regulations of how you properly do Melicha, the salting and the soaking and the rinsing to make sure that that my meat is kosher, that my meat is blood-free. But here in Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis, Shmuel says, very nice that you salted the meat, so you got the blood out of the meat, but you also got the blood into the pan. The salt was mavlia, the blood into the pan. The salt caused the blood to be nivla, to get absorbed into the pan. So now that pan is treif. The meat is kosher, but the pan is treif. And Shmuel says, so make sure you don't eat hot food on that pan. Probably not something we would want to do anyway. Sounds a little gross. I scrubbed it down. It's nice and clean. Nice and clean, Shmuel says, but it's treif. The surface is clean. The surface is shiny. But it was bolea, blood. How is it bolea? Not through heat. I didn't heat the blood in the pan, but I said the blood, salty blood, was sitting in the pan. So the pan became nivla with the dam. If I'm going to later on take a hot piece of food and stick it on the pan, the heat is going to draw the blood out. It's going to make a treif. Ravin disagreed with that, but Rabbi Ami did agree with that. Rabbi Ami, who was a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan, and when it came up with that pincha, the Gemara had said, with that ceramic pan that was used for salting the meat, so ceramic cheres is bolea and you can't kasher it, so he said he's got to smash it. He's got to smash it so it doesn't accidentally get used for hot food, it'll make a treif. Can't have a treif of ceramic around the house, it's going to make everything else treif. Right, so the Gemara came to the conclusion, we possibly like Rabbi Yehuda, name of Shmuel, like Rabbi Ami, presumably name of Yechon, against Ravin, name of Yechon, we paskin that this Ka'ara Taka is treif. But we left off with two kashas, which are really, in a sense, two versions of the same issue. The sharper version of it is Ravin. How could Ravin have said, Maliach Eino Kiroseach? But the we learned the Tosefta yesterday. The Tosefta in Trumas, that's Tanoim, a Braisa, says Beferish that there's such a thing as Moliach Kiroseach. That I have the treif of fish, the salty treif of fish, together with the kasher fish. So the salty treif of fish is going to give the treif of flavor into the kasher fish. You have to throw the kasher fish out. Beferish a Braisa, that Melicha does transfer flavor. So how could Ravin disagree? And the more subtle question is, it's not like a kasha on the way we paskin. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is aligned with the Braisa, but the question is, what's his chiddush? They're Amoraim. They should be adding to the Braisas. So maybe you'll tell me, okay, it's a Tosefta. It's a Tosefta, and everyone knows a Tosefta. What am I supposed to make of it? And the Gemara does sort of raise that question of Kuf Yud Gimel, where quotes the Tosafta. Tosis raises it right here. Take a look. The top Tosis, Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis, Moliach Eno Kiroseach. The Dibra Maskil is from whom? Who in the Gemara said that Dibra Maskil? It's a quote from which Amora? Correct. Specifically, Ravin's version of Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Ravin's version of Yochanan is Maliach Eno Kiroseach. The Malicha doesn't spread flavor. So the Tosis right away says, V'ayvaha desanya de tamet Maliach. The Tahar Tafel Aser, I the Gemara Kufir Gilam and Aleph quotes the Braisa. That's the Tosefta. That what? That Tami Maliach for Tahar Tafel. Have a salty tray for fish will give flavor into the kosher fish. Aser will make the dog Tahar tray. In other words, in one quick line, they're asking that question. How could Ravin say Maliach and the Kiroseach? What does he do with the Tosefta? He cannot argue with Tanaim. And for Taisus, Hainu Bidagim, the Rafu Kirmayu. That's specifically by fish. Rafu Kirmayu. What does Rafu Kirmayu mean? So if you take a look, Tosus is really quoting the Gemara Kuf Yud Beis Amid Beis. Gemara raises issue in the context of a different brisa, in the context of a different member of Tanaim. But the Gemara smack in the middle of Kufi Beis and basically says, you know, maybe Dagim are special to Rafu Kirmayu. Their Kirma, their outer layer, is Rafa, is soft. Now, Gemara suggests that it could be that fish are more porous. Fish are more absorbent. I'll give you an example. If you have a piece of raw meat, right, and you pour cold milk on it, and it just sits there for a few seconds and you wipe it off, right? So there was no bliya, it was cold, it wasn't salty, it didn't sit there for 24 hours, and there was no method of time transfer, so it's milk on the surface, you wash it off, scrub it off obviously with cold water, and it's kosher. But let's say I pour milk onto a sponge, not onto a piece of raw meat, which is tough. Pour milk onto a sponge. Is it going to work to just wash it off? Not necessarily. Right? That sponge is very porous. The sponge is very absorbent. That's why you use sponges. They absorb. Right? So if I poured milk on a sponge, I can't say I'll wash it off and now it's good. No, it absorbs it. So the Gemara says, look, the fish is a softer, doesn't have the same toughness that the raw chicken or raw meat will have, rafu kirmayu, it absorbs more. Oh. So the Tosis is saying, you already have to realize, yes, the Tosefta said maliach, the fish absorbs flavor via malicha, doesn't mean everything else absorbs flavor via malicha. Think about the substance, the material that you're looking at. And let's broaden that a little bit, and then we'll take a question. You know, if you think about what was Shmuel, the other question we had, what was Shmuel adding to the Brisa? He says Maliach Kiroseach. What's Shmuel adding? So Shmuel's adding this Tosis, right? I guess is thinking Shmuel's adding a lot. It's true. It's true that the Brisa, the Tosefta, already teaches us that. It's true that Tosefta already teaches us that melicha can transfer flavor. But what was the case in the Tosefta? Where was the flavor going? From where to where? In the case of the Tosefta. In the case of the Tosefta. You're onto something, DJ. In the case of the Tosefta, the Brisa. Yeah, Nasal? All good. In the Brisa, it went from fish to fish, from food to food. What Shmuel is at, and the salt conveyed the salty, the flavor of the salty fish went into the other fish. In Shmuel's case, the flavor of the salty meat is going into, as DJ said, not into another piece of food. It's going into, what'd you say, DJ? Ah, That's a chiddush. That's interesting. Shmuel is doing what you expected Amor to do, taking a concept that Tanamre give us and seeing how far we can push it and what they're working on unpacking it. What are the details? So Shmuel is saying, don't make the mistake of thinking that salt can only get the flavor into another food. It can even get the flavor into a kli. Not only can the food be boleya from salty food, but even a kli can become treif from salt. That's along the lines of what Tosis is saying, right? Thinking about what's receiving the flavor. Fish is very porous. Other foods might be less porous. And a kli, a metal pan, I would have thought is even less porous. So that's a bigger chiddush, that the ka'ara could become treif from malicha. That's a much bigger chiddush that Shmuel is telling me than what the Braisa said, which is that the herring could become treif from the malicha. Oh. Okay, so that's already thinking about our Gemara, and thinking about our Gemara sort of in categories, right? Already, and by the way, that gets me thinking another way as well. Is one of the chidushim our Gemara has, this is certainly not the only Gemara that has it, that Tam Ke Iker could even make a stop along the way, and not just that I cooked the meat with butter, so the butter was nivla into the meat, now it's bas b'chalav. But even if I made eggs and butter in a pan and then used that pan later after I cleaned it for fleishiks, an extra step removed. Right? The butter didn't go straight into the meat. The butter went into the pan. And then step two, 3 hours later, when I made lunch, the tom went from the pan into the meat. That's always a chiddush. But even one step removed is still that this tom could survive. We're going to get that later on this amud. How far can I push it? That's going to get us into dairy equipment. Right? That's always a chiddush, that I can have more steps. And here there's an added nakud, not only more steps, but as Tosfos pointed out, this idea that salt can push flavor, salt can cause nesias tam, I could have imagined that's limited to salt can push nesias tam into something soft, like fish, or maybe like food in general. But the fact that salt could even push the flavor of a food into a kli, into a ka'ara, that's a bigger chiddush that Shmuel is telling me. It's consistent with the Braisa, but I couldn't have known it from the Braisa alone. So Shmuel, the Amora, is being machadesh. You should know when you look at that Braisa, not only the case of the Braisa, it can be nivla into another food, but even it can be nivla into a kli and make the kli treif. Okay. So that's just the Gemara itself, just to appreciate the Gemara. And again, Tosas got us, as I said before, getting sensitive to, you know, Ravin is shver, and on the other hand, the more subtle question of Shmuel seems pashut, and Tosfos is teretz, which brings the Gemara Kuf Yud Beis onto Kuf Yud Aleph, also gets us thinking about what's the chiddush of Shmuel, thinking about where the tam is nivla into and how porous or non-porous it is. Now the Rush raises a kasha. Let's turn our attention to the Rush's kasha. Please open up the Russian side. Open the Russian side on our Gemara. As we know well, the Rush is organized by Perek. Within each Perek, they have different simanim. So we are in Perek Ches, of course. Perek Kol HaBasar. And here we are, Simen Chaf Ches. Simen Chaf Ches. We're in the middle of Simen Chaf Ches. If you're looking at the old print that I have, it's the beginning of the second column, and page Kuf Tzadi Beis, right near the star for the Haggadah Sashri. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. He has the Girsa Rav Nachman rather than Rav Yehuda. Either way, one of the Talmidim of Shmuel quoted in his name, Ka'ara Shamach Babasar Asar Lechel Barosech. Right? This then, I had the salty, bloody meat sitting in this pan, so the salt, not only did the salt extract the blood from the meat, now the meat is kosher, but also maliach karoseach, the salt pushed the tam of the dam into the kli, and now the kli is treif. So you better not use that kli for hot food later, because the heat of the food, of the second piece of food, will pull out the treif of flavor, it'll make the second food treif. He goes on to quote Shmuel the Taimed, the Amar Shmuel, maliach karoseach. We know Shmuel elsewhere phrase this abstractly, that the principle is maliach is like roseach, maliach could cause tam transfer, kavush is like mevushal, soaking in liquid for 24 hours could cause tam transfer. And then here the Rush begins to add. First he began by quoting the Gemara, like the Rif, and then he starts commenting. We're talking about a Ka'ara She'ena Minu Keves. When he said the Ka'ara Shamach Babasar, the pan became treif because I salted the meat in it. So that's only, he says, if it's a pan without drainage. It's ena minu keves. It doesn't have any holes in it. Why? So let's turn for a moment. He says, because we need to figure out, otherwise I'm going to be very troubled by a stira between Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Gimel. So let's take a look at Kuf Yud Gimel. And in looking at Kuf Yud Gimel, you have to realize that the stira, the kasha, only gets off the ground with a little bit of history of tech, what we could call history of technology. You have to remember that what we take for granted in terms of the things we have at hand are not the things that the Tanoim, Amoraim, and Rishonim had at hand. And I'm talking about something that's pretty basic for us. Nassan there just picked up a bottle of water, a plastic bottle, but it looked like it was a reusable bottle. I'm going to pick that up for a second. No, it's a disposable bottle. A disposable bottle. Right? So if you don't want to do the dishes, hopefully you don't just leave them for someone else to do. And if I don't want to do the dishes, okay, I'll take a paper plate, I'll take a plastic fork and knife. When I'm done, I'll throw it out. Right? If I take a Corel plate and a metal fork and knife, I'll have to wash them when I'm done. Right? But nowadays we have the option of disposables. Right? Or if I want to cook and I don't want to have to clean the pot afterwards, so I could take a disposable pan and cook the disposable pan, and when I'm done, I'll throw the pan in the garbage. Right? I don't have to clean it. And the next time, I'll take a new pan. Nowadays, we live in the modern era. We have that option. We live in the 21st century, or people who live in the late 20th century have that option of using disposables. Chad pa'ami, as they call it in modern Hebrew. Chad pa'ami means one-time use. Right? This wasn't a thing before a few decades ago. I mean, disposable. You use it, you clean it. You use it again. And davar kaze. Right? So with that in mind, recognizing that we take it for granted that we could be using disposable pans. And for some of us, perhaps, that's when we say pan, some of us usually mean disposable pan. Right? Certainly, if you're working with a caterer who does drop-off, right? Pans always means those big aluminum pans that go in the garbage. Right? But let's remember the Tanam, the Amoraim, the Rishonim, they weren't thinking that way. They were disposables. So with that in mind, take a look. Yes, Usher reminds us that if one's going to be eco-conscious, there's a lot of value to not using limiting your use of disposables even now. That's right. And certainly for the Tanam, Amoraim, and Rishonim, it wasn't even a question. Everything was reused. Almost everything was reusable. So with that in mind, let's take a look at the Gemara Kuf Yud Gimel. Kuf Yud Gimel, in a couple of lines, this is the core of Hilchas Melicha. That's the last big topic in Yoredeya before Basar B'Chalav is Melicha. And you go in order. Shechita, what do you do to make an animal kosher? First you have to shecht it. Then you have to check for treifas. And then you have to salt it. And then you have to make sure to cook it without milk. That's why there are other smaller topics in there as well, but the big topics in the first Chelek of Yoredeya, the first four big topics are Shechita, Treifas, Melicha, Bas B'chal. So much of Hilchas Melicha is Perakal Abasar, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's take a look at a little bit of it, right after the parentheses in the middle of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Shmuel Ein Abasar Yotzi Midei Damo El Imkein Molcho Yafa Yafa Umedicho Yafa Yafa. Here's where Shmuel says, after the whole end of the whole sugya of back and forth about Maliach Kiroseach, the top of the Amud actually had been the quote of the Tosefta we've been talking about. Now Shmuel says, let's talk about Melicha as a positive. Up until now, we're talking about Melicha as a negative. It's going to cause the blia of trefet flavor. Melicha is a positive. You have to do Melicha on the meat in order to remove the blood. The only way to get out the blood is to molcho yafe, yafe, medicho yafe. You have to salt it very well. Yafe yafe, and you have to rinse it, mediach, yafe yafe, very well. And then Gemara gets to some of the details of how do you do that. You rinse first, you salt first, do some of both. What does it mean to salt well? And we show him Achron have a lot, post have a lot to say about that. What does it mean to salt well? What does it mean to rinse well? A lot of the details. Let's take a look for now at one detail. From Simon Samach Tes and Yaredeh and on, a lot of the dinim of Melicha, that we've been dealing with Basar B'Chalav, Simon Pei Zayin, Simon Sadi Alef. This is, as I said, the previous major topic, Melicha, beginning in Samach Tes. But let's take a look for now just at one particular detail. The fifth to last narrow line, Kuf Yigimel Melav, a couple lines down, again from Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Ein Manichin, Ein Manichin, Basar Maliach, Ela Al Gabe Kli Manukav. You can only put the salted meat to drip, you're going to cover it with salt, and then the salt is begin to extract the blood from the raw meat. And this is before you've cooked it. You have raw meat, and you're going to salt it, and the salt can begin to draw the blood out. So where are you putting it? In some sort of container, probably, unless you're doing it in the great outdoors. You're going to put it in some sort of container. Well, Shmuel says that container, that pan, it better be a kli menukav. It better be a pan with holes, a perforated pan. Now think about it. It could be mamash a rack, like a grill, which is mostly open, so you have great drainage. Or even if you have something that looks like a broiler pan, which basically is solid, but you have a lot of holes in it, plenty of room for drainage. But it needs to be perforated. It needs to be perforated so you have instant drainage. Because Shmuel says otherwise, if you don't have any drainage, you're going to have the meat sitting in the salt's going to be pulling out the blood, but the meat's going to sit in that pool of blood. I'll give you an example of something that most of us, again, I told you about the other day, my mother, you know, when she was in, when my mother, Shatichia, was in Central, so she got trained by Gene Joffin, in how to do Malicha. Again, most of us have never seen a Malicha done, myself included. But here's something that many of us have seen, just to get us thinking about this. If you've ever grilled with a George Foreman, show of hands, how many of you have used a George Foreman? Okay. How many of you have seen someone else at least use a George Foreman? How many of you have seen a George Foreman in use? Okay, just about everybody. So remember what it looks like, right? It has ridges, and it's at an angle. Right, so you put the meat in, and as the fat drips off, it doesn't sit in the fat. It drips down, and it slides away. Right? That's why you have that pan on the side to catch all the drip off. Right? That's all I did. You don't want the meat sitting in the fat. You want to get just the meat, and the fat drains away. So it's sort of a similar idea. When you salt raw meat to pull out the blood, you want the blood to be coming out and immediately draining away so the meat doesn't sit in the blood. If the meat's going to sit in the blood, and salty blood, you're going to have a concern of maliach kiroseach. The salt may drive the tom of the blood potentially back into the meat. The post can assume that this may be a problem li'ikuva. If you use, not only are you supposed to use a cliche menukav, but if you use a kli menukav, it's not necessarily going to make your meat kosher. Okay. So that's a din. That's a din in Hilchos Melicha. Positive Melicha. Melicha that you're supposed to do in order to make your meat kosher. You have to do Melicha, Shmuel says. And it has to be a kli ha-menukav. Says the Rosh. Well, one second. How do I salt meat the second time? Again, we might have read this Gemara on Kuf Yud Gimel and said, oh, okay, I have a disposable pan. I salt the meat in the pan. The next time I take another pan. That's the way people often do it nowadays. But the Tanam and Amaram, Shmuel wasn't using a disposable aluminum pan to do his Melicha. He didn't have a disposable pan. Right? He was obviously using a reusable, a metal pan, a ceramic pan, wood, whatever it is. But unless he was using sticks, you know, unless he was grilling outside, he was using just sticks that he found. He was doing in the kitchen, obviously reusable pan. Frek the Rosh Akasha. Shmuel is only talking about, I'm worried about the blood may bounce right back into this piece of meat. But now that I learned Kuf Yud Aleph, and Shmuel said that not, as we said before, what's Shmuel's chiddush? That not only can the salt push Tom into another piece of food, the salt can even push the food's Tom into a kli to come out later. And that's why Shmuel says in Kuf Yud Aleph, our Gemara, don't put hot meat on that ka'ara, because the heat will pull out the tray for flavor. Forget about putting hot meat. How about putting salty meat? Says the Rosh. According to Shmuel Kuf Yud Aleph, I also shouldn't put salty meat on the Ka'ar Shemach Babasar, because the salt will pull out the flavor. No? It's a kasha. So you'll tell me, okay, in a Hanami, Shmuel and Kuf Yud Aleph is saying, don't put hot meat on the pan that you use for salting, and don't put salty meat there either. Maybe. But the Rosh says, and now let's turn back to the Rosh. Rosh says, it can't be. Why can't it be? Because how do I ever salt meat in the same pan I used earlier today for another piece of meat? Weren't using disposable kalim. You had your salting pan. You didn't use a new pan every time. I have my pan in my kitchen that used to salt my meat day in, day out, week in, week out, whatever it is. Maybe even if I'm salting meat several times a day, I'm using the same pan. So Frek the Rush, a stira between Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Gimel. What do I mean? Let's take a look inside, back to Simon Chavches in the Rush. Uvekaara Sheinu Munu Kevesari. When Shmuel said in our Gemara that I salt meat in a pan, the pan becomes treif, that must only be talking about a pan with no holes, a pan with a liquid pools. Shalom Kedivra and Mepharshim Dari Filim Kevesh, as opposed to other Rishon. We'll get to that in a moment. Why? Here comes the kasha. If you're going to tell me that Shmuel was talking about any pan, how do you ever salt meat twice in one pan? Right? A tremendous kasha. That's the Rosh's kasha. I don't understand. Now that Shmuel tells me that Kuf Yud Gimel, you're mechuyev to salt your meat. And then Shmuel tells me Kuf Yud Aleph, when you salt meat in a pan, it makes the pan treif. To affect the Rosh, how do I use it the second time? The treif of flavor in the pan is going to come back into the second piece of meat. Gewalt. The same way I can't put hot meat on this pan, I can't put salty meat on the pan. So how do I ever reuse a salting pan? That's a kasha. A steer between Kuf Yud Aleph and Kuf Yud Gimel. Kuf Yud Gimel told me you're mechuyev to salt every piece of meat before you eat it to get the blood out. Kuf Yud Aleph told me that once you salt meat in a pan, the pan becomes treif. So won't the next salting of the next piece of meat in the same pan make the next piece treif? That's the Rosh's kasha. Again, he doesn't present it at first as a kasha. He presents his teretz first. What was his teretz? That's what's a little confusing about this Rosh. What was his teretz? Now that we see the kasha, again, that kasha was im kenye asr l'mloach beis ba'am b'kli menukav. That was a very quick kasha. We unpacked it. Right? It's a Gemara Kuf Yud Gimel and the assumption that no one has disposable kalim. So what was the teretz? The Rosh's teretz was, Rabbi Isai. The Rosh's teretz was, don't worry, this doesn't come up. Why? So what the Rosh said was, and for now we'll stick with the Rosh's teretz. Next time we'll see another teretz, other Rishon of other terutzim. But the Rosh's answer is, from this kasha teaches me a big chiddush. This kasha teaches me specifically a chiddush in our Gemara Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis. It must be that Shmuel's din is very limited. We're going to make what's called an ukimta. Shmuel had a very broad sounding din. Ka'ara shemach ba'basar. A pan in which you salted meat. The Rosh says that can't mean the type of pan that I normally use to salt meat, because then how do I ever reuse the pan to salt the next piece of meat? So the Rosh said, I have an answer. The answer is, Shmuel is not talking about the type of pan that you're supposed to use. The type of pan you're supposed to use doesn't get treif. What type of pan you're supposed to use? That's the next member of Shmuel and Kuf Yud Gimel. You're supposed to use a kli menukav. You're supposed to use a perforated pan with good drainage. That's what you're supposed to use, mitam hilchas melicha, mitam simen samach tes. And why? Why are you supposed to use that? Because that way the blood doesn't pool, and this piece of meat won't sit in its own blood. Right? That's why you need to use a kli menukav. Says the Rosh, the same way a kli menukav doesn't let blood pool, and therefore the blood doesn't get recycled right back into that very piece of meat. It's also, says the Rosh, if it's a kli menukav, it's the same way it doesn't get back into the meat, it also doesn't get into the pan. Because it's not pooling. It's dripping away instantly. It's just rolling off. So a gevaldik. That's what the Gemara uses the terminology, dam mishrik sharik. The dam is slippery, it slides away, and if you have good drainage, it's going to roll right away. So the Rosh says, I'll tell you a chiddush, a kula, says the Rosh. When Shmuel said that when I salt meat, I have salty meat sitting in a pan, the pan gets trafe, he's only talking about a pan with pools of blood in it. A kli she'en a manukav, a kli with no drainage. Ah! So if I did my malicha wrong, not only might my meat become trafe, my pan became trafe too. The Rosh says that's all that Shmuel meant. He was only to the major ukimta. Ukimta means I'm taking this broad sounding term, I'm limited to just one subcase. Shmuel only meant a kli she'en a manukav. Ah, so the Rosh says, now I was miyashev my kasha. How do I ever reuse a salting pan? How does it ever work? My salting pan became trafe, says the Rosh. The Rosh says, Chiddush, your salting pan is not trafe. If you're doing your salting properly, if you're following Hilchos Melicha, I mean, you're using a kli menukav, you're using that perforated pan, you're using a grate, it doesn't become trafe. Because the blood doesn't sit there long enough to be nivla into the pan. It's good drainage. It doesn't recycle back into the meat, nor does it get into the pan. The pan never became trafe to begin with. That's a major kula of the Rosh. So the Rosh would say, a proper salting pan, it's a kli menukav, you could eat hot food on it later if you want to. Seems a little gross, but it's not a kashrus problem. The Rosh's chiddush was, Shmuel's whole chumrah of Karach Shemach Wabasar only when it had pools of blood, only when it was a kli she'en manukav. You're doing proper malicha with a kli manukav, a proper malicha pen stays kosher. That's the Rosh's answer. So again, what have we done? We had a chance to accomplish a number of things in Shir today. Number one, we had a chance to appreciate the Gemara itself. Minayu Bei the Gemara Kufi Aleph. Machlokas Ravin versus Shmuel, and even Ravin versus Rabbi Ami. So we had a chance to figure out, to think about the kash we left off with last time. Isn't Ravin against the Tosefta? And isn't Shmuel just repeating the Tosefta? So Tosas pointed out, when you think about Melich in particular, you have to think about what's the receiving food. It's already a Gemara Kufiud Beis. So that's why Ravin will say, the Tosefta is a different case than me. Fish is very absorbent, but other cases are not. That also got us thinking about Shmuel, specifically Shmuel's being mechash, that not only can Melicha push flavor into the food, can even push flavor into a kli. Okay. And in thinking about that, the Rosh, we then moved on to the Rosh's kasha and the first teretz, which is the Rosh's teretz. The kasha was, with the Gemara Kofiud Gimel introduces us to the positive Melicha, to the requirement of salty meat to remove the blood. But how do I reuse it? If I have to do it to every piece of meat that I'm eating, to kasher the meat using salt, but doesn't the pan become treif according to Shmuel and Kufi Alf? So how do I ever, do I need a new pan every time? It can't be that didn't have disposables. Virtually very rarely did they have disposables. So what's going on? What's going on? How could it be? How do I reuse a melicha pan? Akasha. So the Rosh's answer was that from the second Gemara in Kofi Gimel, there's a din of Kli Menukav, the Melicha require, Hilchas Melicha requires a Kli Menukav. So the Rosh said, there's not only a din in Sa'ad Mechtas, it's a din in Sa'ad Yalf. Not only is the requirement of Kli Menukav a requirement for the Melicha to work on this piece of meat, it also enables your pan to stay kosher. The pan also won't absorb the flavor of the blood, and we hear the Svara in that. The same way the manuka of the drainage keeps the blood from going back into the meat, it's going to keep the blood from going into the kli. It's a good svara, a solid svara, and it answers the kasha. Well, we'll see next time The Rosh Hashanah mentioned that other Rishonim disagree with him, la'halacha, and that's because although the Svara is of the Rosh is very strong, and it's a great teretz to the Kasha, in principle, but the other Rishonim are going to attack him in terms of Lashon. The Rosh's approach is very strong in terms of Svara, but in terms of the Nusach of the Gemara, that's very challenging. We're going to pick up with that in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. I will see you, Chevra, tonight for Mishmah. As before, tentatively, Mishmah tonight will be a different time. Mishmah tonight will be at 9 o'clock.